Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have decided to join us on today, and I'm excited about you and what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto you on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I would like to welcome all of my listeners from all around the world there in Indonesia, Africa, and the Philippines, and all up to the othermost parts of this earth and throughout the United States. All of my listeners, I welcome you on today. Truly, God have a blessing for you on today, and it's yours. All you have to do is claim it, believe, and claim every promise belong unto you. Oh, yes, it does, child of God. God has blessings that are bestowed and laid up on your behalf, but it's up to us as children of God to claim every one of the promises that God has for us as people of God. Truly, we thank God for his goodness, his mercy on today. We have a glorious lesson on today, so I'm going to welcome you. Come on right in home and come on in and make yourself right at home. Grab your Bible. We are all for another glorious time in the Lord today. On today, our lesson is a song of praise. We're looking at the praises of God. Now, here the focus thought will be the Lord is worthy of praise. The people of God should gladly praise him. We're going to look at several passages of scriptures on today. We're going to look at Psalms 100, Psalms 98, and Isaiah chapter number 12. And I want us to start us off with Isaiah chapter number 12, and then we'll look at Psalms 98, then ending up on Psalms 100. Isaiah chapter number 12, reads on this line. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That was, yeah. 98. Is another Psalms that we will be looking at on today in reference to our lesson, A Song of Praise. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness have he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and with the harp and with the voice of psalms, with trumpets and sounds of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hill be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now let's take a look at our last psalm that we'll be looking at on today is Psalms 100, one that we're very familiar with. It said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good, God, and it is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Come on and just shout hallelujah. On today, we're going to be looking at the Psalms of Praise and seeing what the scriptures are admonishing us to do as people of God. This is going to give you a greater understanding as to what God is calling us as people of God to do. Now, let's take a look here at this particular psalm. The people of Israel used Psalms 100 in connection with their giving of peace offering. Outside of Psalms 23, it is the most famous and most quoted of all the Psalms. The Old Testament scripture revealed that there were gates and courts that led into the temples. Access to the main temple was restricted, but the courts, with much praise was offered to God, were accessible to everyone. Every person had the privilege to offer praise to the Lord. None are restricted from that opportunity. The word praise appeared in the King James Version of the Bible 248 times in 216 verses. Praise is important. One songwriter well described the Lord's worthiness to receive the praise of mankind as such. Lord, you are worthy of my highest praise. Lord, you are worthy now and for always. Your goodness and mercy cause me to say, Lord, you are worthy of my highest praise. Now, as we look at this lesson on today, may it be an encouragement to you and to each of us to understand what a privilege it is to praise the Lord of heaven and earth. And we must recognize that one of the things that I get so excited about is that how that we have privilege to come into the temple or into the house of God, lifting up holy hands and offering up praises unto him. Whereas in the Old Testament, in the time of old, it was only done in the courts where they were allowed to come, and it was restricted for people to even to go into the temple. And so right there in itself, we must recognize how privileged we are, children of God, to go into the sanctuary, to lift up holy hands and give forth his praise that is due unto his holy name. Now, let's take a look. Approaching God in praise. Now, we're talking here about the vocal praise unto God, and we want to give you a clear understanding as to what is all being transpired and taking place. There is a fourfold mandate in Scripture for mankind to praise the Lord. Now, we can find that over in 1 Peter 2 and chapter number 9. It reveals four reasons we should praise God. Now, I want you to write these down, these four reasons. Number one, it's because we are a chosen generation. Number two, we are a royal priesthood. Number three, we are a holy nation and a peculiar or special people. It is a privilege to be a child of God. Therefore, we should gladly utilize our voices to offer him genuine praise and heartfelt praise. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 63:3. Many people in our world use their voices to practice or promote sinful lifestyle. Many lyrics and music in scripts promote a vile and a corrupt life. Sadly, in North America cultures, the voice of most television and talk show promote anything but to praise God. But the psalmist encouraged a most positive and a blessed attitude that includes thanksgiving and praise for God. He wrote, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and to tell all thy wondrous work," Psalms 26 and 7. In at least seven instances, the psalmist spoke of joyful noise. It is good to make a joyful noise of praise unto God. The word noise may carry a more negative connotation today than when the psalmist used the expression. And to some people, praise may seem only to be unnecessary noise. But praise is everything but noise to God. It is beautiful music to Him. There is nothing more beautiful and exciting than to hear a congregation of people using their voices in one accord to offer the praise to their Redeemer. Many people may recall special time of praise in church service when there was no music to prompt the offering of praise. Instead, there was just one voice of praise, one unified and constant sound of verbal praise being expressed to God of our salvation. Now, let's take a look at Revelation chapter number 19, verses 5 through 6. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. And sometimes we need to just go back and just say, Hallelujah. For the Lord our God reigns, because he does. He's still yet reigning in our lives and in this world. And even though things seem as though they're in much turmoil, God still is in control. And he still sit high and look low and can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, yes, he can. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Glory be unto God. It is awesome to know that God is still yet in control. And we have that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. We are admonished to be mindful and cautious in how we use our voices. The psalmist said it's well when he declared, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 19 and verse number 14. Praising God needs no certain time or place. All that is required is an attitude of worship from a sincere heart. That to be unable to sing is an hindrance in their ability to offer praise. But singing is only one of many ways to praise the Lord. Moreover, God is not nearly as interested in the tone of our voice as he is in the tone of our heart. As a tune in a basket, but I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Singing and other forms of worship are important because they prepare an individual to receive the preached word of God. Most church services include a time of singing in the preliminaries of the worship service, both to exalt Jesus Christ and to prepare the hearts of the people to receive from him. Just as a farmer tills the soil before he plants seeds, the singing of the hymns and the choruses that magnify the name of the Lord prepares our heart to receive the preached word of God. Frequently, there is a special song or congregational chorus just prior to the delivery of a sermon. And again, this song provides a further preparation of the heart of those present in the congregation to receive the word. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 100 and verse number 2. Singing soothes the soul and lifts a person's spirit. When evil spirit troubled King Saul, the psalmist David of music and singing brought him peace and comfort. Moreover, the Lord is worthy of our praises, though through singing. These are only a few of the many reasons that the scripture encouraged us to sing. Now, let's take a look at a couple of the scriptures that is admonishing us to sing. Psalms 9 and verse number 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. Psalms chapter number 9, verse number 2. Psalms 13 and 16, verse number 6 states, I will sing unto the Lord because he have dealt bountifully with me. Psalms 13 and 6. Psalms 27 and verse number 6. And now shall my head be lifted up about my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalms 26 and verse number 6. Psalms 47, verse 6 through 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. So here we find these scriptures that is admonishing and encouraging us as children of God to sing the songs of Zion, sing praises unto God, even throughout your day, even on your job. You know, sing the praises of God. Keep a song on your heart and sing joy and peace. God has ordained pleasant aspects of music as a conduit to bring into our lives a special awareness of his presence. So here, as we sing in these songs, it is God's ordained vehicle in which he has as a conduit where you can feel his presence when we start singing the songs of Zion. Now, let's look at another point. Glad to serve God. Now, this is good. In approaching God, he wants us to be glad that we're able to serve him. When we praise and pause to remember what the Lord has done in our lives, there arises in our heart overwhelming gladness to be a child of the King. When we recall the sinful pit from which God lifted us and remember how greatly he changed our lives for the better, we cannot help but to rejoice. We once lived in darkness, but now we live in his marvelous light. We are certainly glad. Now, the psalmist exhorts us, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 100 and verse number 2. The redeemed person, blood-washed, spirit-filled, is looking for the soon return of the Lord and the Savior as he rejoiced in his salvation. Indeed, he was glad to be a child of God. What an exciting hour, child of God. Prophecy is being fulfilled. The signs of the time point to the soon return of Jesus Christ for his church. What an opportune time for us to shine this bright light, bearing truth in this dark and sinful world. People need to see our joy and the gladness in our heart as we await our Redeemer. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Now, let's look here. What we know about God, and we're going to look at several aspects here. One of the things that we know, that the Lord is God. And let's take a look at that. How sad it must be for people to prepare themselves for worship and know neither the name of God nor where he might abide. But we are blessed to know God and how to find him. The psalmist David had an awareness of who his God was. In Psalms 23 and 1, David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist Ethan understood that the Lord was his solid foundation of strength and protection. He called him the rock of his salvation. Psalms 89 and 26. In Psalms 91 and 2, the psalmist declared, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. When Paul visited Mars Hill, he declared to him, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. Acts 17, verses 22 to verse number 23. The God the Greeks did not know, for whom they sought was and still is the almighty, all-powerful, miracle-working Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, let's take another look at another aspect of who God is and what we know about God. God is the Lord, is our sovereign creator. The Bible begins with the profound words, in the beginning God created, Genesis 1 and 1. What an important truth to establish in the heart of mankind. Creation was not an accident. It was not an evolutionary process that took centuries or millennium to produce man and this beautiful earth. God simply spoke, and by the power of his word, he created all. The psalmist of Psalms 104 believed in the Creator. He declared, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministering as flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Psalms 104, verses number 2 through 5. As David kept watch over his father's sheep, he would admire the beautiful sunset, the flowing river, the landscape, and the beautiful design. He knew that the very God who created all these things would give him strength. His ultimate desire was to serve God and offer worship unto him. And that such it is our desire to do the same. Now, let's take a look at Psalms chapter number 27 and verse number 4. It said, one thing have I desire of God, of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Now, let's look at another aspect of what we know about God. We are the people of God. Psalms 100 and verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What an honor to be identified with our Lord, knowing who he is and what we and that we belong to him. The scripture on the numerous occasions used the analogy of sheep and their shepherds to portray the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. There developed such an intimate relationship between them and the people of God, clearly recognized his voice. Now let's look at John chapter number 10, verses 3 through 5, and see what it states in regards to this. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. John 10, verses 35. Verses 3 through 5. And it let us know that God's people knows his voice, and a stranger he will not follow. In the 21st century, many people may be considered dysfunctional, not knowing who their family is or where they belong. However, the kingdom of God, there is absolutely no reason for any person to be dysfunctional in their spiritual relationship with Christ. We know who we are. We also know the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we have received his name through faith. Obedient in water baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, we are his people, the people of God. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Isn't that awesome to know that you are a child of God and you belong to God? And that in itself is to bring peace and joy to the heart of an individual. Now, let's look here. How to come before God. Now, we talked about how to use our voices, how to approach God in praise, and we talked about what we know about God. Now we're going to look at it to another aspect as to how to come before God. Sometimes many people want to know, how can I go before God? How can I worship God and be right there in the presence of God? And so let's take a look at that. It's key, number one, for you to have the Holy Ghost. And things that is very, very, very key. And if you don't have it, it's something that God has prepared for everyone, whosoever will let them come. And things that is a gift for every man, woman, boy, or girl. All you have to do is seek God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and you will be, he'll be found of you, and he will fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you need more information about receiving or someone to work with you, I will be more than glad to do that. All you need to do is contact me. Now, let's take a look here. It said, in approaching royalty, a person should follow a specific protocol and ritual. In the Old Testament, coming uninvited into the throne room could cost a person their life, no matter what the person was or who they were. For example, consider the risk that Esther took when she came before her husband, thrown uninvited. She knew her act could cost her life. See Esther 4:16. Today, we have a distinct privilege of being able to approach God boldly and enter his divine presence. However, there is specific protocol that govern how a person is to enter into the presence of God. Now, let's look here. Psalms 104, it said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto God and bless his name. Be thankful unto God and bless his name. Let's take a look at that. Thanking God. The word thank you are almost non-existent in some people's vocabulary today. If a person were to hold open a door for others entering a place of business, several may walk through and not even bother to say thank you. But people appreciate hearing these two words. The psalmist David declared that we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Giving thanks is something all people can do. If we were to try to list all of which we wanted to thank the Lord, our list would never end. God has been good to us. He has redeemed us. He has given us hope. He has supplied our needs. He has provided us comfort. As long as we walk faithfully in the truth of his word, around Thanksgiving time each year, many people pause to consider the blessing they enjoy. For a child of God, however, every day is a time of thanking him. Amen? Now, let's take a look at another aspect that is very, very key, praising him. Praise is, number one, something that a thing or a person is good, word that feel the worth or value of a thing or a person. Number two, praise is words or songs setting forth the glory and goodness of God. What an honor to praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord in testimony or in song. We can also praise him in many other ways as described by the psalmist David in Psalm 150. And you can see that from Psalms 150, verses number 1 down to verse number 60. I mean, verse number 6. And I think that that's a very good psalm, and we want to take a moment real quickly and just look at that psalm real quickly as a part of our lesson, too, at Psalms 150, because it begins to admonish everything and everybody to praise the Lord. And it is so profound for us to engage in praise. It says, Psalms 150 states, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instrument or organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And it's key for us children of God to praise the Lord. He wants us to praise him as never before. Every person have a distinct privilege of offering praise to God. It is never out of order to stop whatever we're doing and offer praise to God. You could be down in your laundry room, taking the white clothes out of the wash machine, putting them into the dryer, and all of a sudden a praise will break out in your heart and just start worshiping and praising God. Or you could be vacuuming your kitchen or your living room floor, and all of a sudden you think of the goodness of Jesus, and the praise will just burst out. And a jubilant praise of worship unto God of his goodness. You could be there changing the oil in your car, and you begin to think of how God has kept your children, how God has provided, how God has made a way out of no way. Oh, I could just feel the presence of the Lord right there in that. Oh, glory be unto God. God's been good to us. Oh, he's made ways out of no way. In spite of the economy, in spite of the time, in spite of situations, God still yet will take care of his people. Oh, I want somebody to know. God wants somebody to know he will take care of you. He will open the door. He will put food on your table. He will make a way out of no way. All you got to do is look up and live. God will provide. Ah, shalom bullshit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your provision and making a way, oh God. We thank you for being our creator, God. We bless you. We bless your name, Lord. And we sing forth a praise unto you today, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Ah, Taroboshi. Oh, I just felt it in my spirit. Oh, Katabo. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessing the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalms 103 and 1. The angel of the Lord declared, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he hath saved his people from their sin." Matthew 1, verse 21. The name of the Lord is necessary for our salvation. It is only normal, natural, and correct that we bless his holy name. It is only through his name in water baptism that we receive remission of sin. Acts 2:38, 4:12. Moreover, we are enriched by his Holy Spirit in our lives when we receive the Holy Ghost with the signs of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Further, Jesus will break through the cloud of glory when he returns for his church. It is clear that we have many reasons to bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, not everyone feels the same. Even the scripture confirmed that not all people will bless his name. As recorded in the book of Matthew, Jesus warned, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Matthew 10:22. And so that let us know right there that everybody is not going to have the revelation of the name of Jesus. Many people will say, well, he's just a prophet, or some will say he's just a brother. But no, he is God manifested in the flesh. Yes, he came, and he came as a prophet. He came as the Son and things, but he was God manifested in the flesh. He fulfilled the prophecy of the Old Testament. He was the substance in the new, amen, of the fulfillment thereof. Remember, in the old, there was just types and shadow of things to come. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was the fulfillment of the prophecies that was prophesied in old. Isaiah prophesied almost the whole book of the gospel in Isaiah 53. When you look at that, he was prophesied. He foreseen the eagle eye prophet. He was able to see down the line of time. And we can recognize as an eagle sees his food 3 miles away. And he can see the fish in the water close to 3 miles away. And so here it is, God used Isaiah years and eon times away, centuries away, to prophesy what was going to come. And God's still yet using his men and using his women to prophesy and to speak forth those things that God is doing in the life of his people. Now, let's look here. Furthermore, the Bible, Acts chapter 15, verse 14 states, Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, here it is. God took out a people for his name. And I'm so glad I was one to be taken out for his name that have the revelation. And you can have it too. Those that will seek him will be found of him. And we as children of God, we must want Jesus and seek after him. It is reasonable that the children of God should desire to raise their hands and their voices to offer praise to God and to bless his name. Now, we looked at how to come before God, and we talked about with thanksgiving, we talked about praising God, and we talked about blessing his name. Those three components are key as you come before the presence of God. Now, let's look at how great is our God, God's goodness. One songwriter wrote, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. God is good." Zechariah 9 and 17. "For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty." Romans 2 and 4 state, "Or despises thou the riches of goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance." Galatians 5 and 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith." Galatians 5 and 22. The nature and character of God is centered in his goodness. God has been good to us and through the fruit of his Spirit. He places his goodness in us. The psalmist said it well. The Lord is good. And you can find that over in Psalms 34 and 8. Psalm 105, Psalms 135, verse 3, Psalm 145, verses 9. Every child of God should praise and pause to reflect on the goodness of God. We should ask ourselves, have I been a recipient of the goodness of God? Am I allowing his goodness to flow through me? And those are good questions that we must ask ourselves. Are we allowing God's goodness not only to be good to us, but to flow through us so that it may reach and touch somebody else? Now, let's look here at God's mercy. It says the Hebrew word in Psalms 105 that is translated mercy is chikit. to cheat, which means kindness by implication towards God, piety, rarely by opposition, reproof or subject, beauty. In the King James Version, it is variously translated as favor, good deed, godliness, goodliness, kindness, loving kindness, merciful, mercy, pity, reproach, wicked thing. And so here we find that God's mercy is compassion and pity, or understanding that is exercised towards one that is guilty. It involves God dealing kindly with mankind in spite of his sinfulness. Moreover, from man's perspective, it is receiving kindness and love from God, even though we do not deserve it. David knew the mercy of God. He failed the Lord miserably in his lustful and sinful relationship. However, God was still yet good to him. And we know that his relationship with Bathsheba, out of his adulterous relationship, David even more had bad decision as he tried to in vain to hide the evil he had done. He caused Bathsheba's husband to be killed on the battlefield, thinking that he could take Bathsheba to be his wife and no one would know of his sinful liaison with her. But one day, judgment came to his doorstep through Nathan, the prophet of God. Only did David begin to admit his error and understand his desperate need for the mercies of God. Psalm 51 records David's prayers of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Psalm 51 and 1. And you can read the whole entirety, Psalms 51, verses 1 through 19. We'll talk about how David began to cry out because he was in need of the mercies of God. In Genesis 19, when Lot barely escaped the judgment of God that fell upon the city of Sodom, he declared in verse 19, "Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Oh, the mercy and grace of God." Under the Old Testament plan that typifies and foreshadows the coming Savior, God instructed the people to build and install a mercy seat in the holies of holy in the tabernacle. It was only God's mercy that kept him from receiving the judgment they deserve, and it was so it is today. See Exodus 37, verses 6 through 9. Now, today in the 21st century, we need to understand the benefit of God's mercy towards us. We certainly deserve judgment, but instead he has given us mercy. Christ did not come to redeem the world, but to extend his mercy to condemn the world, but to extend his mercy to whosoever will receive it. And so it's up to us as children of God to receive the mercies of God, receive his pity, receive his compassion, and receive his understanding, his strength, and his help. Lord, we receive it, your pity today, your compassion, Lord, your understanding, your strength, and your help. We receive it, oh God, today. Now let's look at Psalms 100 and verse number 5, and talking about God's truth. His truth endureth through to all generations. Pilate looked truth in the face, but he failed to recognize it. In examining Christ, he asked, "What is truth?" Then he made an awesome declaration. "I find no fault at all." John 18, verses 38. Solomon declared, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Psalms 23. Jesus declared, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. The scripture states, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Truth is absolute. It is unchangeable, unalterable, as is truth of Jesus Christ. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Neither culture nor language change or distorts truth. Political spin cannot alter the truth. Watered down preaching does not change truth of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. His truth endures to all generations and forever. The psalmist exhibits a tremendous spiritual insight into understanding the goodness, the mercy, and the everlasting truth of his Lord. Our God is good. His mercy is new and fresh each day. And his truth is unchanging and everlasting. Now, let's take a look for just a moment of reflection and reflect over where we've come. Our title for today is a song of praise, and we begin to read Psalms 100, Psalms 80, 98, and Isaiah number 12. And Psalm 100 states, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generation." And we talked about our focus verse was verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. Our focus was around the thought, the Lord is worthy of praise. The people of God should gladly praise him. And then we went on to look at the approaching God in praise. And we talked about the vocal praise and why, the four reasons. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and 9 gave us four reasons why. And that is because we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, and we are a peculiar people. And it is a privilege for us as children of God to come gladly into the house of the Lord or wherever we find ourselves to utilize our voices to praise God. Then we begin to talk about several types of praise. We talked about Psalms 9 and 2 where it says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Psalms 13 and 6, "I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Psalms 27 and verse 6, "And now shall my head be lifted up round about my enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Then finally, we talked about Psalms 47, verse 6 and 7. "Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." Then we went on to talk about glad to serve God and talking about how we should be glad, serve the Lord with gladness. The redeemed child of God, blood washed, spirit filled, is to look for the soon return of the Lord and Savior as he rejoiced in his salvation and as a child of God. Then we went on to talk about God, and we looked at the Lord is God. Then we also looked, the Lord is the sovereign creator. And we begin to talk about Let's begin to allure to 104, who believe, he declare, who covers himself as with a garment, who stretches out heaven like a curtain, who layeth the beam chambers in the water, who moves in his chariot, who walketh the wings of the wind, who makes his angel spirit, his spirit as a who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. 4, verses 2 through 5. talk about it and how the said, you know, the one who sheep and admire the beauty. He said, one thing have I desired, what I seek after. Now, what are you seeking after the Lord? Desiring of the Lord. And I may dwell in the house of the Lord for days I, and to behold the beauty of the choir in his temple. Another thing we were talking about is we are the people. And so here we talk to know God, that we, the God, the Lord is the Father, and we are his people. Third point that we looked at, that how to come before God. 104 state, into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with the hymn and bless his name. There are three things that we looked at. With thanksgiving, we come with praise, and we come before God. Then finally, we looked at how great is our God, about God's goodness. Zechariah 9 and 17, for God's, his goodness and how beauty. And we went on to talk about how his goodness to come towards us. Not only that, but allow his fruit to dwell, goodness to flow through us, our lives. Then we talked about another great thing about our Creator was his mercy, well as his truth. Key for us as the children of God, know about God's truth and his mercy and unto his people. So in conclusion, it says the song is a powerful portion of spiritual direction to every. We can serve him with gladness, come before his presence with singing, his gates with thanksgiving, and his court with praise. Truly name forever and ever and ever. Truly God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Worthy of all our praise, of all our glory, that we want him. I hear the Bible, the Lord leads us unto repentance. We're even in the psalmist. And then it said for us to buy the Proverbs 23, we must hold fast God, because we don't want the world to choke out the word of God. And those things can literally choke the word of God. But we as children, we must hold fast. Oh, I just can feel the power of being through this place right now. Nice is goodness that happened to us. Everything may not promise you, but it doesn't mean that happened. It doesn't mean that God's not true. It's trusting God and holding fast God and praising God that we'll even see right now. God on your behalf, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you would not even have room enough to receive if you would trust God and never doubt what God is doing, his goodness. Trust his goodness. Trust his mercy. Trust his kindness. Trust his truth of his word. Get back into the word. Read the word. Don't be bewitched. Allow a spell to come upon your mind and things and not read your word and get into the Bible and read the Bible, the word of God anymore. You need to go back. I invite you and encourage you to go back to the word of God and read the word of God as never before and watch God, perform miracles in your life. You must draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh unto him, because truly he is a great God. that have all power in his hand and can do all things but fail. And I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that God will set a song upon your lips. I pray that you will forever always praise and worship God in the sixth trouble and seventh trouble, and knowing that God in no wise will he forsake you, but all he wants you to do is keep praising him and giving him the glory and the honor that's due unto his name. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, dear God. We come, oh God, before your presence saying we thank you, dear God, for this glorious session. We thank you, oh God, for this time, oh God, to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask, oh God, that your will be done. We ask, oh God, that your kingdom will come and that you will bless your people with a praise down on their lips, down in their heart, oh God, as they move farther and on higher ground to do your blessed will. Lord, we bind every force of darkness, everything that will come up against your people, and say, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we thank you because you alone is worthy, and we exalt your name to the glory of the Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we thank you, and we praise your blessed name because you alone are worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Stir up the flame. Lord, fan the flames in our hearts that we be the men and women of God that you have called us out to be, and will forever be mindful and careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor that so graciously do unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on and just clap your hand and lift up your voice and shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, he alone is worthy of the praise, glory, and honor, the psalmist said. And we're going to get ready to close on this particular note that all praise belong unto him because he is the sovereign God and he still yet reigns high and his mercy endures, oh, forever and forever and forever. And he is that sovereign God and we praise him. I find a great joy to be a worshiper of God, and I love to worship him, and I love to praise him, and to give him all the praise that's due unto his holy name. He is the sovereign holy God of the creator of all things, and we praise his name and give him all praise that's due unto him. So truly, again, we thank you for being here with us on today. We pray that this has been a blessing, but most of all, we pray that you find the relevancy that's in his word to worship him and to praise God as never before, even in the midst of your trouble, even in the midst of your tribulation, or even in the midst of transitions, that you will have a praise down in your heart. And if you praise God, the blessings of the Lord will be released down in and through and upon your life, your children's life, and your children's children's life, because our Redeemer lives, Christ our Lord. And so in my closing, as I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask and you shall find. Seek, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. If you need a miracle, ask God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom and watch God bless you as never before and open up a window of heaven that you will not have room enough to receive. So be encouraged. Don't you dare give up and don't you dare throw in that towel. And if you did, I encourage you, go back and get that towel and go back and start all over again. And watch God bless you and watch God keep you and bring it to pass on your behalf, not only for you, for your children and your children's children. God's still able to do it all and to make a way out of no way. He is a keeper. So turn it over to Jesus and he will work it out on your behalf. Come on and give God the praise. I want to hear from you. Email me. Call me. Let me know that this has been a blessing. And to all of my covenant prayer partners, I want you to know I'm praying with you, and I want to hear from you that we're praying and touching and agreeing and believing God. Email me at HelenOrm@MSN.com or Shekinah, Shekinahgt at MSN.com. Until we meet again at the same time and same station, may God bless you and don't you dare back up. Bye-bye.